Welcome back to the Deep Dive. It is January 19th, 2026. The holidays are officially behind us. Decorations are probably down.
Finally.
And if your mailbox looks anything like mine, the bills are starting to show up. But there's probably another envelope or maybe a notification in your portal that we really need to talk about today.
That's right. If you're on Medicare or, you know, if you're helping a parent with their paperwork, the rules have really changed. We're 19 days into 2026. And this is not just the usual, oh, things cost a bit more.
Exactly. I mean, usually these updates are so dry. The premium goes up a buck. The deductible goes up 10. See you next year.
Right.
But this deep dive, it feels different. We're looking at a report from Cindy George that outlines some, I mean, historic shifts. We have the government finally negotiating drug prices and a pretty controversial new pilot program for original Medicare.
It really is a year of trade-offs. You're getting some historic relief on, you know, very high-cost prescriptions. But at the same time, you're seeing tighter controls and, well, higher costs in other places. It's a complicated picture.
Yep. So consider this your 2026 user manual. Our mission is to decode the five biggest changes hitting your wallet right now. And we have to start with the headline event, the Medicare Drug Price Negotiation Program. This has been a political football for forever.
For decades, really. But as of January 1st, it's actually real. For the very first time, Medicare has dictated prices on 10 specific, very common drugs.
The Big Ten.
The Big Ten. And if you take one of them, the savings are, well, they're aggressive. But I think instead of just listing them, we should probably group them by condition.
Yeah, let's do that. Because looking at this data, if you're managing diabetes, your world looks completely different today than it did on December 31st.
Oh, completely. You have Januvia, which is a, you know, a huge drug for type 2 diabetes. The list price dropped 79%.
79.
We're talking about a drop from over $500 a month to just over 100. And then you add in the insulins, Fiasp and Novolog, they're down 76%.
That is life-changing math for someone on a fixed income. But let me ask you this. Does a lower list price actually translate to money in my pocket? Or is it just, you know, an accounting trick?
That's the crucial question. And it really depends on your specific Part D plan. If you have, say, a flat $20 copay, you might not see much of a change.
Sure.
But for these expensive brand name drugs, most people pay what's called coinsurance, a percentage. So if you were paying 20% of $500, that's $100. Now you're paying 20% of about $100, which is $20. That's real money.
Okay, that makes sense. So let's move to the second big category, autoimmune conditions. The raw dollar amounts here are even crazier.
This is where the numbers get really staggering. I mean, drugs like Enbrel and Stelara are just famously expensive. Stelara, which treats Crohn's and psoriasis, it had a list price around $14,000.
$14,000 for a month? That's a decent used car.
It is. The negotiation knocked that price down to about $4,700.
Okay.
Now, I know what you're thinking.
$4,700 is definitely not cheap.
No, it's not cheap at all. But it is a 66% reduction. And here's the really important part. Because these are negotiated drugs, they have to be on your plan's list of covered drugs. It's formulary.
Oh.
So your insurance company can't just decide, eh, we don't want to cover Stelara this year. They have to.
That's a huge protection. Okay, what about heart and blood conditions? I see Eliquis and Xarelto on here. Those commercials are on TV every 5 minutes.
They're absolutely the standard now for blood thinners. Eliquis is down 56%. Xarelto is down 62%. Again, if your plan has you paying a percentage, your bill was just cut in half. And it's a similar story for Entresto, for heart failure, and Farxiga.
So if you're taking one of the big 10, 2026 is starting out pretty well.
Wow.
But there's always a but, isn't there?
There is always a but.
While some prices dropped, the safety net for everyone else got a little more expensive.
That is the trade-off, exactly. We have to talk about the Part D out-of-pocket cap. Remember, in 2025, it was big news that the cap was set at a nice round $2,000.
I do. It was easy to remember.
Well, for 2026, that cap has gone up to $2,100.
So they raised the ceiling.
They did. Now, to be fair, the structure is still way better than it was a few years ago. The donut hole, that awful gap where you paid full price mid-year, that is still gone. Once you spend that $2,100, your plan pays 100% of your covered drugs for the rest of the year.
So you still have that protection from bankruptcy. It just costs you an extra $100 to get there.
Exactly. And we're seeing that trend everywhere. Part B, your doctor visits, the premium is up to $202.90 a month now. the deductible jumped up to $283.
It feels like death by a thousand paper cuts. If you're not on one of those 10 drugs, your costs are just up.
For a generally healthy person, yes. 2026 is a more expensive year.
All right, let's pivot to what I think is maybe the most radical change in this whole report. It's flagged as a pilot program, which, you know, sounds harmless. But if you live in one of six states, this is a fundamental change to original Medicare.
It really is. I mean, this touches the core promise of original Medicare. For decades, the deal was simple. You pick a private Medicare Advantage plan, you get networks, you get prior authorizations. You have to ask for permission.
Right.
But if you stick with original Medicare, you pay a bit more, but you have total freedom. If your doctor says you need it, Medicare pays. End of story.
But not anymore, not starting this month.
Not if you live in Arizona, New Jersey, Ohio, Oklahoma, Texas, or Washington. This new six-year pilot program introduces prior authorization to original Medicare.
Mother May I has finally come to the government plan. Now, looking at the list of procedures, it's not everything. It's actually a really weird, specific list.
It's very specific. The government is targeting procedures they see as prone to fraud or potentially wasteful.
Okay, let's dig into that, because wasteful is a really loaded word. I see skin and tissue substitutes on the list here.
Right, so that's like bioengineered skin for, say, diabetic foot ulcers. They're incredibly expensive, and frankly, auditors have found a ton of overuse. So now, they want a doctor to prove the wound really needs that level of treatment first.
I can see the logic there. But then I see things like cervical fusion and lumbar decompression. That's back surgery.
Spine surgery is a huge expense for Medicare. And a lot of clinical evidence suggests it's done way too often when, you know, physical therapy might have worked. So in these six states, a reviewer is going to look at your case and say, yes, this person really does need surgery.
And I was surprised to see arthroscopic knee cleanouts on here. That seems so routine.
It is routine, but the medical consensus has really turned against it. Studies show that for osteoarthritis, it's often no better than a placebo surgery. But it's still done all the time because it's a quick moneymaker. Medicare is basically saying, prove to us this will actually work.
So they're kind of using bureaucracy to enforce best practices.
Or to ration care, depending on your point of view.
Fair point. And then you've got the really high-tech stuff. Implanted neurostimulators, vagus nerve stimulation.
These are devices for managing chronic pain or even sleep apnea. They're expensive.
Yeah.
So Medicare wants to see that you've tried the, you know, the CPAP machine or the standard medications before they'll pay for the implant.
Okay, but I have to ask, to be crystal clear, if I'm in Texas and I have a heart attack, do I need to get a permission slip in the ambulance?
No. Absolutely not. This rule does not apply to emergencies or any inpatient hospital services. This is strictly for scheduled non-emergency procedures.
Still, it adds a layer of anxiety for people in those six states and a delay.
It does. A big question will be if prior authorization just becomes prior denial. We'll have to see.
Okay, moving on to our fourth topic. We're calling this one the escape hatch.
And this is so important for anyone who picked a new Medicare Advantage plan last fall.
So here's the scenario. It happens all the time. You go to the Medicare Plan Finder website, you type in your doctor's name. The site says, great news, Dr. Smith is in your new plans network. So you sign up.
You did everything right.
But now it's January. You call Dr. Smith's office and the receptionist says, oh, sorry, we don't take that plan anymore.
It's a complete nightmare. And those provider directories are notoriously out of date. The official website can be wrong.
So are you just stuck? For a whole year?
You are not stuck, but you are on a clock. There's a remedy called a special election period for this exact problem.
Okay, so walk me through it. I find out my doctor isn't covered. What's the very first thing I do?
You pick up the phone and you call 1-800-MEDICARE. Do not call the insurance company. Call Medicare directly.
And what do I say? Do I have to prove it?
You need to say a very specific thing. You tell the representative, I enrolled in this plan based on inaccurate information in the Medicare plan finder.
That's the magic phrase.
That is the trigger. That's what gives you the special election period.
And what are my options then? What can I switch to?
You can pick a different Medicare Advantage plan that your doctor does take. You can switch back to original Medicare entirely, or you can pick a standalone Part D plan, which also moves you back to original Medicare.
And how fast does the fix take effect? If I call today,
your new coverage will start on the first day of the next month. So if you call in January, your new plan starts February 1st.
And there's a deadline.
A hard deadline. You have to report this issue within 3 months of your coverage starting. For most people, that's March 31st. If you wait until April, it's too late.
That is so important. So your homework for this week, call your doctors. Make sure they take your 2026 plan. If not, use that escape hatch.
Don't assume. Verify.
All right, let's do some quick hits. A couple other changes to note. First, that prescription payment plan, the smoothing program.
Right, where you can pay for expensive drugs in monthly installments. The update for 2026 is simple. It's about inertia.
Inertia.
If you signed up for it in 2025, you are automatically renewed for 2026. You don't have to do anything. But if you want out, you have to actively opt out.
And it's still voluntary for new people.
Still voluntary. You can sign up now if you think you'll have high costs.
Good to know. And finally, it feels like there are fewer choices this year, fewer plans.
That's not just a feeling. The data shows the average number of Medicare Advantage plans has dropped slightly, from 34 down to 32.
What's that about?
It suggests the market is tightening up. Insurers are probably cutting plans that weren't very profitable. It just makes it even more important to read that annual notice of change letter you got last fall. Your plan might have been one of the ones that got cut.
Which brings us to the bottom line. Looking at 2026 as a whole, what's the big story?
The story is complexity and trade-offs. The government made good on a huge promise to lower drug prices for the people who need them most. The insulin users, the Enbrel users, that is a massive win.
Mm.
But to pay for it, the day-to-day costs for everybody else, your premiums, your deductibles, they're all creeping up. The system is rebalancing.
And for people in those six pilot states, the story is red tape.
It is. The era of a no-questions-asked original Medicare is, well, it's being tested. If you need certain surgeries in Texas or Ohio, you're now in the world of prior authorization, just like your neighbors in Medicare Advantage.
So here's your checklist. It's mid-January. Check your first bill. Did the premium go up like you expected?
And check your prescriptions. If you take one of the big 10, did the price actually drop? If it didn't, and you pay co-insurance, you need to call your plan.
And most important, verify your doctors. Call the office. Ask, are you in my 2026 network? If they say no, remember the magic words for 1-800-MEDICARE.
I relied on inaccurate information.
Before we go, I want to leave you with one final thought. We've talked about all the dollars and cents, but I can't shake this feeling that the pilot program is actually the biggest story here, culturally.
I completely agree. It's about where healthcare is heading. We are moving toward a system where every decision gets scrutinized before it happens. With this pilot, you have to ask, are we seeing the beginning of the end for that no questions asked nature of original Medicare? And if it saves money in these six states, whose state is next?
Something to think about. Thanks for diving in with us today. We'll see you next time.
Stay informed, everyone.